Would you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 14? I'd like to read verse 14 for right now. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14. For we must needs die. That's a must. We must needs die. That's waiting on every one of us. And are as water spilt on the ground. There's no way that we can avoid this, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Let's pray together. Lord, how thankful we are that you, in your mercy and in your amazing grace, have devised means that your banished might not be expelled from you. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that your gospel would be preached in the power of your Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would give us grace. Have mercy on us. Forgive us of our sins. May we be found in Christ. And Lord, will you give us grace to honor you in all things? Be with all your people wherever they meet together. Lord, that your banished might not be expelled even this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now you will remember from last week that Absalom murdered Amnon. He waited 2 years after Amnon had raped his sister Tamar, and he wanted vengeance, and he waited 2 years, and he committed this cold-blooded, premeditated murder, and then he ran away, and he was gone for 3 years. But he was still David's son, and David still loved him and desired a relationship with him. Look in verses 38 and verse 39 of the 13th chapter. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. He could see that David was yearning for Absalom. And Joab said to Tekoa, sent to Tekoa, and fetched thence a wise woman, and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner, and put on now mourning apparel, and anoint not thyself with oil, but as a woman that hath been a long time mourned for the dead, and come to the king and speak on this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. Now that's what the preaching of the gospel is. I pray that's what happens this morning, that the Lord will put words in my mouth and that his gospel would be preached. But he tells this woman to come to David with this story. Verse 4, and when the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance and said, help, O king. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and my husband is dead. And thy handmaid had 2 sons, and they 2 strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. Now remember, she's making this story up. This is what Joab said, you say this to David. And she's giving this story of what took place with her 2 sons. One killed another. And remember, that's what happened with David's sons, Absalom and Amnon. Thy handmaid had two sons, and they two strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid. And they said, deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother, whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also. And so they shall quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave me to my husband neither name nor reminder upon the earth. Now, look at her position. She was a widow. She had two sons. One killed the other son. He's murdered. He's dead. People cry for justice to be done. Deliver us this other man that we may kill him. And that's what justice would have to be done. Put him to death. But she said, he's all I got. He's all I have. If you kill him, what's going to become of me? He's the only one who can support me. If you kill him, my husband's name will be blotted out. Now that's her fear. Verse 8. And the king said unto the woman, this is David, go to thy house, and I will give charge concerning thee. I'll protect you. And the woman of Tekoa said unto the king, my lord, O king, the iniquity be upon me and upon my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. You'll be guiltless in doing this. And the king said, whosoever saith aught unto thee, bringing to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to take care of this situation. This is not going to take place. Verse 11. Then she said, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldst not suffer the revengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. And he said, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. I'm going to take care of this. You don't need to worry. I'm going to protect you. Verse 12. Then the woman said, let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord, the king. And he said, say on. And the woman said, wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. Now, you'll protect my son. What about your son? What about Absalom that's banished? What are you going to do about him? For we must needs die, as water spilt on the ground. We're all going to die, which can't be gathered up. Neither doth God respect any person. God is absolutely just. He's not a respecter of persons. Yet, doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Now therefore, that I am come to speak of this thing unto my lord the king, it's because the people have made me afraid. Now a handmaid said, I'll now speak unto the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid, for the king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable, for as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad, and therefore the Lord thy God will be with thee. Then the king answered and said unto the woman, hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, let my lord the king now speak. And the king said, is not the hand of Joab with thee in this? Joab put you up to this, didn't he? And the woman answered and said, as thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn the right hand or to the left from aught that my lord the king has spoken. For thy servant Joab bade me, and he put all these words in the mouth of thy handmaid. To fetch about the form of speech hath thy servant Joab done, and my lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all things that are in the earth. And the king said unto Joab, behold, I've done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. And Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, today thy servant knoweth I have found grace in thy sight, my lord, O king, in that the king has fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. Now I read the story. God, who is no respecter of persons, who is absolutely just, devises means to bring his banished back so that they be not expelled. Now, the whole gospel is found in that one statement. God does devise means to bring his banished back that they be not expelled. Now, Absalom had a pre-existing relationship with David before this sin. He was his son. He was a child. You know, a son of God has never been a son of the devil. You know, the Lord said to that one group, you're your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you'll do. Now, if you're a child of God, if you're a son of God, that's because of a pre-existing relationship. You have always been a son in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before time began, you were a son, loved, accepted in the beloved, accepted because of the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, when you were born into this world, you didn't know that. You had no idea of it. But if you're a child of God, you have always been united to Christ. You have always had that relationship. I got to go again to what I heard Greg Elmquist make this statement, and I loved it. When we get to heaven, we'll find out we've always been there in Christ. What a blessed place to be. Now, Absalom sinned, premeditated murder. Now, you realize where he wanted to take up for his sister, but still he didn't have any right to be a vigilante. He sinned greatly in what he did, and here he has to be banished. God is just. God cannot let sin go unpunished. God cannot let sin alone like that. He can't do it. He's God. He'd cease to be God if he could let sin go unpunished and if he could let Absalom just go free. Absalom is banished. And well, he should be. I think of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. After they sinned, they were driven out, weren't they? They were driven out. There was an angel that had a sword going in every way to keep them out of the garden. They were driven out. They were banished. But I love how David, at this time, and this is precious, David's heart yearned over Absalom. He yearned over him. He loved him. He yearned over him. And I have such a hard time understanding this, how that the God of glory could yearn and long over me. But that's the picture. God yearns and longs over his banished ones. Remember, notice that his banished. His banished. That's talking about the elect. That's talking about every child of God. His banished. The scripture says God yearns. David yearned and longed for Absalom. Now this woman says to David, she says, God devised means, and she's actually referring to the cities of refuge when she says God devised means to bring his banished home. That person who was guilty of murder was given this city of refuge where they could stay. God devised means where this person could be saved. They could be brought back in. And she's saying to David, if God can devise means to bring his banished in, and you remember the cities of refuge, if you killed somebody accidentally and the revenger of blood came after you, he had the right to kill you in those times, but if you got into a city of refuge that God had provided, you were safe. You were completely safe. Well, that's just another beautiful picture of the gospel. Now, she says to David, if God will devise means to bring his banished back so they won't be expelled, you ought to do the same thing. That was her argument. And I won't complain with it. I won't deny it. I'll believe that altogether. God devises means. Now, God has devised means to bring his banished back. Now, I can understand why I've been banished, can't you? I can understand why I've been kicked out of the house. Just like Absalom was kicked out of the house. Absalom was bad. I mean, you go into chapter 15, look at him. He starts a coup and starts to try to take over the throne. He was going to kill his daddy. I mean, Absalom was no good. But David loved him. What a picture of God's love to his children. David loved him. And David's going to let him come back. And it ends up being, humanly speaking, it ends up being a mistake, because when he let him back, he tried to destroy the kingdom and murder David and take over. I mean, this guy, he was bad news. But what a glorious picture of the gospel. God has devised means to make it to where his banished are not expelled. You know, the first means is election. This is the work of the Father. He chose to bring his banished back. Now, that's where salvation begins. Now, remember this. Election is the sinner's friend. This is where salvation begins. You can't preach the gospel, not preach election at all. It's impossible. This is where salvation begins. God bringing his banished back, choosing to do it. I love election. I hope nobody ever gets tired of election. That's the work of the Father in salvation. Him choosing. This is his mercy. This is his grace. He chooses to bring his banished back. Thank God for election. And then he chose to redeem us. This is the work of the Son. Now, this is all of God devising means to bring his banished back to him. Oh, these banished are united to Christ. He loves them. He chose to save them. And if God chose to save you, saved you must be. And he provided his Son. This is the work of the Son in redemption. He chose to come here. First, he became my surety. He agreed to save me. This is the means God has devised. The means of the gospel. Christ chose to be my surety, to bear all the responsibility of my salvation. He said, everything you require of Todd Nybert, you look to me for. He devised means. The Son did. And he came to this earth and he kept God's law perfectly. For me. For all of his banished ones. He devised means of a way that he could be just and justify the ungodly. And he kept the law perfectly on the behalf of all of his banished ones. And then he took their sins upon himself willingly. Willingly. And this is so amazing to me that he would willingly do this for me. I think of him willingly saying, I'll take his sins. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, he made the means of my salvation. He kept the law for me. He paid for my sins. He made a way for God to be just, for my sins to be punished, and yet bring me back in. But we don't stop there. I think of the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in salvation. You know, I wouldn't, even if he's made these means, I wouldn't come to him. I wouldn't come to him. Dead in sins, I'd stay off. I'd be happy in my banished state if he didn't give me a new heart. If he didn't regenerate me, if he didn't make me willing, I wouldn't be willing if he didn't make me willing. He's made us willing in the day of his power. He has made means, he has devised means where he can bring his banished back in. And now because of that, I'm happy to be saved by grace. I'm happy to be saved by Christ. Thank God he's devised these means. And let's go on. He's the means of what we're doing right now, the preaching of the gospel. That's a means that he's devised. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You hear the gospel. That's what a glorious means of grace. That's something that gives Christ all the honor. I love the way it says God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You mean This is what God uses, a fool like you to preach the gospel to a bunch of fools like us. And God actually, that's the way God works, yeah, because he gets all the glory that way. Sure, there's no glory going to the preacher. The preacher's a banished fool himself. There's no glory going to him. No glory going to the hearers. It all goes to him. What about the means of prayer? The means of prayer. I shall yet for this be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for him. We ask the Lord. This is God's means. We ask the Lord to give us faith. We ask the Lord to give us repentance. We ask the Lord to give us a new heart. Everything that we have, we ask the Lord for. And don't ever forget the importance of prayer. If you're going to have something, you're going to ask for it. That's the means God has devised. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. God devises means. The reading of the Word. The reading of the Word. What a privilege that God has given us a book that he has written that reveals the gospel. So when you're hearing a fool like me preach, you can open up the scriptures and see if what I'm saying is so. You better be doing that. Search the scriptures whether this is so. He's given us the means of reading the Word. Well, I'm so thankful for the means and the means of grace, hearing, praying, reading, calling upon his name. And I think of this. Everything in providence God uses to bring us to himself. Everything. You know, regarding the past, all your past, it's all good because it's what God has used to bring you to himself. He's in control of everything. Even if he has to burn your barley fields. Look in verse 25 of this 14th chapter. But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. He was the best looking guy in all Israel. And so he was so admired by the people. And when he polled his head, for it was every year's end that he polled it, or he got a haircut because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there was born 3 sons, 1 daughter whose name was Tamar, and she was a woman of fair countenance. Now remember, Absalom has been banished. He got to come back to Israel, but David said, he's not going to see my face. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent him again the second time, he wouldn't come. Therefore he said unto his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom and his house and said unto him, wherefore hath thy servants set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king, to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It be good for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Now, Joab wouldn't come when Absalom called him. Absalom set his field on fire. Joab came. And if God sets my field on fire to get me to Christ, wonderful. Wonderful. The point is, everything in the Lord's providence. He's in control of everything. So we will take, he's devised means, and he uses everything in providence to bring his banished back to himself. What a glorious God he is. What a glorious God he is. He has devised means to bring his banished back to himself. Thank God for the gospel. What a glorious God that he would actually yearn and long over his people so much that he would devise means to bring us back. And thank God he does it. And at what cost to himself? Boy, the gospel gives all the glory to Christ, doesn't it? Thank God for the gospel.